In my studio today, guess what? It's a new day from Day Kimball Healthcare, and it's the return of the docs in our first visit this year of Dr. Erica Kesselman, GYN at Day Kimball Healthcare. Good morning, Dr. Kesselman.
Good morning, Gary.
I'm glad you're here today. Dr. Mark Cerrone is here, Director of Pediatric Division of Day Kimball Medical Group. And Dr. Mark, good morning to you.
Good morning, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Hey, I understand you brought a special guest here today, Dr.
We sure
Mark.
Did.
Yes, we did.
For our first show of the new year, we have John O'Keefe here, and I'll let him introduce himself in his full title.
We're starting at the top.
All right.
He works like at top echelons of management.
Yeah.
Top of the building. He's just
top of the
you're
heap.
The tops.
Well, John O'Keefe is here, and he's a frequent visitor to the morning show. He's been here before. Great guy, chief nursing officer at Day Kimball Healthcare, chief nursing officer. Did I get that right?
You did.
Okay, I forgot the R.
We
here.
Just
sorry.
Call him
sorry
chief.
About that. All
chief.
Right, they call him the chief
boss or El Jefe,
boss man.
I got to tell you, the first thing I noticed when you pull in, I went, "Whoa, that's a pretty cool truck." You got this big Dodge Ram pickup out there. And that's probably by design because you're getting to work no matter what,
yes.
Right?
Correct.
That's one of
the
those
deal.
Essential people that
yeah,
you can't
yeah.
have in
and,
hospital without.
And we love that. In fact, we had a press release from Laura Dunn a day or two ago just about how, you know, when storms kick in, you've got your storm plan. And there's a plan up there that essential people who are needed, will get to work and you'll go pick people up. And I guess they were making a run for a patient from hospice out to Willimantic. During the storm, they got it done. So I noticed that when you pulled in this morning. Anyway, John, welcome to our show. Great to have you here today.
Thank you.
There's a very specific topic that you wanted to focus in on, specifically a community partnership with Yale New Haven and a specific program. But first, talk about just the overview of the partnership with Day Kimball Healthcare and Yale New Haven. I think sometimes people hear that and they immediately jump to, oh, they're being taken over. But what is that partnership? What does that entail?
So the community partnership basically gives us a lot of supports from the Yale New Haven health system that we would not have had had we not had the partnership. So originally it started off with just information sharing, and then it turned into being able to purchase our products and services through Yale New Haven Health so that we can save a fair amount of money buying in bulk through the Yale name. Mm-hmm. That has turned out to be a phenomenal success for us. Most recently, we've changed over to our drug purchasing company, and we're using the same company Yale uses, which is also mm-hmm. giving us not only savings, but a lot of efficiencies. And we have some other plans in the pipeline for the same type of thing.
Tell us.
Good question.
I can't.
Okay.
Oh, come on. I thought this was the big reveal.
It'll be for future New Day segments. I'm sure we will get into it.
One of the programs we're really looking at is to get more involved with Yale about medication management and how we purchase it.
Yeah.
And the benefits of using certain national systems to do that, which is called 340B.
Yeah.
So it's a company that they use that we're talking to see if we can merge over to use them, which will give Day Kimball a lot of efficiencies. Maybe not savings, but the efficiencies are pretty phenomenal.
And are we looking at the kinds of medicines they're using versus what we are using and having discussions about, maybe we should use this instead of this? You know, are there some sort of intellectual discussions going on too?
Not
as far
at the
as
moment.
Like, okay.
I mean, right now, if we're doing any of that, it's going to be around certain types of care.
Uh-huh.
Not necessarily in purchasing and how we utilize medicines.
Okay.
So I just want to make sure I'm clear. It sounds like Yale basically enables us to act like a big organization, but still maintain our autonomy as Day Kimball Healthcare and provide the same care, even though it just allows us that sort of larger organizational management
power.
Kind of things.
Yeah, correct.
But it's not going to change the care that we give. It's not
correct.
Going to change the physician's choices with regard to what we can prescribe and what
correct.
We can do. But it just allows us to do it because we're part of something larger.
Correct.
on a scale that's more affordable for us. So they can't squeeze out the little guy like they were, the big capital T, like they were trying to do before.
Okay.
Correct.
All right.
That's we are still independent.
Great. And remain your independence. So you've got some benefits from the partnership, but you maintain your independence, your autonomy,
correct,
which is great. There's a very specific service here with this partnership that you wanted to talk
correct
about. Tell us about it.
So as of December 6th, we went live with what's called Insight, which is a remote.
Give us some insight.
I see what you did there.
Where's
you
the
like
laugh track? The laugh track. I'll be the laugh track.
I'm on fire. This isn't just the year of the vagina. This is the year of
got it in so early.
I know. That way Gary's not stressed about it anymore. So give us some insight on Insight, John.
So the Insight Tele-ICU is a service that Yale provides to their either community partners or their hospitals within the Yale New Haven Health System. And basically what it provides is ICU critical care, physician and nurses, consultation and overview from 7P to 7A. It was originally established to give their own hospitals a break for having critical care coverage, on-call docs, basically, okay, from 7P to 7A. They've reached out to us, and we are the first outside the real merger group.
Yeah.
So, in other words, Westerly went live several months ago, and, of course, Westerly and New London, Lawrence Memorial, are part of Yale.
Mm-hmm.
So we're the first hospital outside of the real Yale merged group. So far, it's been a really great success. So basically, we have two rooms in the ICU that have a camera mounted on the wall with a large monitor, and there's speakers in the ceilings, and a physician or a nurse practitioner or a nurse from the Yale bunker can come in and actually assess a patient, help us care for the patient, and they can actually see our monitors.
Wow.
So they can see what's going on with the patient. We also have two telecarts, which one's in the emergency department and one is in the ICU, where we can move it around the department and do certain consultations from there.
So with the cart, you can literally bring it up to a patient and
yep
hook it up to the patient, mm-hmm, and they can see the patient's
don't
vitals.
Don't need to hook it up. You literally turn the thing on, and the nurse practitioner, the doctor, or the nurse's face is right there. There's a camera on the cart, and they can act. The camera is so great that they
how great
can see
is
the
it
pupils of the patient's eyes.
That's pretty cool.
Really?
Yes, it is.
So just to backtrack for a second, tele means telemetry. So to me, it just so it's yep just they're looking from afar. It's not just cardiac monitoring.
Like, correct.
As the GYN in the group that's not so smart, because I just do GYN.
Please.
Telemetry, for me, always was like, okay, I'm looking at the heart rate. We have a tele unit where
correct
we look at the heart rate. But this is more than
it's
just
so much
heart
more
rate
than that.
It's correct
the whole patient yeah top to yeah bottom.
You're right. So those of us that are in the business, telemetry has meant something forever and a day to us. This changes the meaning of that particular word, and that's why we got to make sure we're talking about the right thing.
Yeah.
So I try to say it basically means remote monitoring and assessments from the Yale bunker. Now, this is not our first avenue of using remote
yeah
care.
Right.
We actually have a telestroke program with UMass that we've had yeah for about yeah 6 years.
We're
that is a
that
phenomenal success. So I think, you know, that's one of the great things about being independent. We don't have to use one system services
yeah
all the time. And this particular service, excuse me, even though UMass has something simpler.
Where's the intern with our water?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Even though UMass has similar processes to this, theirs is called an EIC, which takes over the patient. This really is to augment our physicians and our services.
Got it.
So it's a little bit different.
And it won't restrict us from working with UMass.
Not
or
at all.
With women and infants or with...
No.
Yeah, I think that, and that's one of the things I really like about this partnership is it doesn't say, hey, you can only send people to
yeah
Yale and
yeah
you can only use Yale doctors. It's allowing us to partner with Yale for this, and you know we partner with CCMC for our neonatal issues. We partner with UMass for our stroke stuff. It's letting us really be a free agent, and
yeah
I like that, and I like preserving our autonomy. I think that's one of the things that's really special about our hospital. There's only two left in the state that are autonomous like us.
also with our location being in, you know, we joke that we're the quiet corner, but we really are a corner. We are right on the Massachusetts border and the Rhode Island border, which allows us to kind of play best of breed a little bit, which hospitals have the strongest programs, and we can woo those hospitals, and they can kind of woo us a little bit. So sometimes it pays to be a little bit autonomous.
I like it.
Odd question, but three times you used the word bunker. why bunker?
You had mentioned like an underground thing where underground there's like a doctor.
I'm
30 feet underground.
Reinforced concrete, you know?
I'm thinking like a nuclear shelter where these doctors are hanging out.
That's right.
What is their bunker? Yeah,
big steel door.
What does their bunker look like?
Basically,
I'm kind of the only one who is daydreaming about like doctors in the bunker.
Yeah.
Basically, it's a room with no windows, supposedly, and computer screens. Yeah. And their computer screens can, right now, they can monitor about 70 patients in various hospitals.
Yeah.
So apparently, it's like that because they're only in there in the nighttime.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Is that how you turn, like, you know, Frodo turned into Gollum? You turn a physician into, like, a Gollum-like person because they're in the dark all night long with their precious.
I don't know about that.
Wow.
Did you get punished? You're the bad doctor. You have to go to the bunker at Yale.
That's 12 hours in the bunker. Go.
No.
That's pretty good stuff here. And, again, a great explanation, too, of how we're hanging on to our independence, our autonomy, and just grabbing and kind of cherry-picking and shopping for the best services, ultimately, for all of us here in northeastern Connecticut. I feel pretty good about that.
And they're kind of rallying they're fighting for us, too. Yeah, a couple different hospitals are asking us to do different things,
good,
and we're
man.
Like, hey, we can pick.
Yeah, it's all good.
And it gives us big city care in a small town.
Yes, indeed.
True that,
there
girl.
We go. Day Kimball Hospital, Day Kimball Healthcare, and daykimball.org if you'd like to learn more. John O'Keefe is here today, Chief Nursing Officer at Day Kimball Healthcare. And John, thank you for stopping by here today. I sure do appreciate your time. We're going to take a break. We'll have Centaur Scoop with Woodstock Academy. We'll come back after 7:30 with round two. Are we doing open forum this morning, or what do you guys want
to
do? Got a couple things to talk about.
Yeah. I have lots of things to talk about.
No, don't give her too much.
She's
freedom.
Got that gleam in her eye with Dr. Mark Cerrone and Dr. Erica Kesselman. It's a new day from Day Kimball Healthcare, daykimball.org. 7:19, good morning.
WIMY Community Radio, serving northeastern Connecticut.
Okay, back here with the doctors here today from Day Kimball Healthcare. Why? I'll tell you why. Because it's a new day.
It's a new day.
And we're having a heat wave today. 28 degrees outside.
I know, it seems balmy.
Isn't that wonderful? I'm taking my jacket.
Did you go out for a jog today?
No, <yeah. laughs>
it's a good day for a run.
I think there may be one.
My jacket is off here today. Dr. Erica Kesselman, GYN from Day Kimball Healthcare. Dr. Mark Cerrone, Director of Pediatric Division at Day Kimball Medical Group. So we do two segments first Tuesday of the month. And boy, John, nice segment with John O'Keefe earlier. Very informative. And this segment is kind of an open forum, and I do like just chatting up with the two of you. What's on your mind today?
Vaginas.
Oh, my gosh. Twice?
Sorry,
all right.
It's what I do. Each segment. We got to get it in
pretty
each
much
segment.
Yeah,
Dr. Mark.
Now that's out of the way.
Throw me a lifeline here.
Actually, it kind of does have to do with that a little bit, what I wanted to
A little bit, yeah.
Up.
We were talking at the break just to kind of see what are the current topics and current events that we could bring up, because we like to keep the show current and lively.
And then also link in like some of the medical aspects of what's happening locally and nationally. So it'd be big in the media. I had a patient come in the other day and say, hey, what do you think of all of this sexual harassment stuff that's going on in the media?
Yeah.
And I, my first instinct was yawning and saying, okay, this has been going on for forever. Mm-hmm. The only difference is now everybody's being outed.
People are talking about it now, which is the difference. Women are no longer afraid to report. And I think that's fantastic.
That's a great thing.
And it actually brought up something. I had this great, robust conversation about how we were talking about millennials. And, as someone who's not a millennial, I think we're Generation Xers, aren't we?
We are Xers.
You guys are Xers?
Okay. We're Xers. So as the self-entitled Generation Xer, we're not quite at the level, and we're a little jealous of the incredibly self-entitled, I really don't feel like working, and what are the perks of my job, millennials.
Okay.
And trying to coordinate working with them has been a difficult thing sometimes.
Yeah.
So as we're talking about millennials, the one thing that sort of gives me hope for the future is this sort of almost rigidity when it comes to their ideals. And the next generation that's coming up, their ability to say, okay, this isn't okay, this feels bad in, this is my favorite millennial expression ever, in my lived experience. I've heard that a lot in the like 20 to 26-year-old set, in my lived experience.
I have not heard that phrase yet.
Really? Did you have a, I mean, maybe there
was
a
How long have you been living?
Yeah, a previous life experience? Okay. I don't know. Right. But in their lived experience, yeah. there's this sort of rigidity when something doesn't feel right. They come up against it and they say, no, not okay.
Mm.
And I think it's that kind of mentality that is driving a lot of this movement forward and saying, okay, you know what? What you did isn't okay. And not only am I going to say it's not okay, I'm going to shout it from the rooftops. Yeah, and because of social media, you can.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think a lot of bad under the table behavior. I've been watching Mad Men. I'm kind of obsessed with it. Never watched it when it first came out.
Yeah.
So I'm
this. Talk about bad behavior.
I'm like, okay, we're shocked that sexual harassment is a thing. When in this whole time period that
it's just
rampant. And then in my comeuppance a couple and of decades later.
Yeah. That series was praised for many things, among them the accuracy of
era,
right down to the fashions, right down to the accessories decorating the rooms, and certainly to the situation.
Yeah, and how people talk to one another.
That's
and
the
that
way
was
it
okay.
Was.
And women just took it because that was just what you did. You had to. That was, you know, these are your bosses talking to you, and you can't go up against them. You just have to do what they say.
Put on your mom hat right now because you have what, two daughters?
Yes.
Okay. And Dr. Mark, what children?
I have a son and a daughter.
A son and a daughter. Okay. So what do you, how are you coaching your daughter? In this world, I'm always curious to hear that.
It's funny that you say that because my girls are now 13 and 15, so they're sort of young women, and they're actually doing a lot of coaching for me. We have a lot of robust discussions around the dinner table with, you know, that's okay, that's not okay, that's okay, that's not okay, and they'll bring things up with regard to sexual harassment or what's okay, what's not okay, what they wear, what they don't wear. There have been a lot of issues in one of my daughter's schools about a dress code.
Yeah.
And what she was told early on was, well, you don't want to provoke the boys, so we're going to say that you can wear this, this, and this, and you can't wear this, this, and this. And, you know, my daughter looked at her. She goes, really? How about they just show some self-control?
Bingo.
And we can wear appropriate clothing.
Thank you.
And it was just this very different spin on it.
Yeah.
And I think that it's, again, a generational thing where they see it as, we are all people on this earth.
Yeah.
We don't. And there is some, I don't know what the word is that I'm looking for. There's definitely some objectification of both genders.
Yeah.
And in this world where you can be airbrushed in magazines,
right,
there's this drive for perfection, which leads to a lot of peer pressure, which leads to a lot of measuring stick that comes out.
Well, I mean, you can't, you know, teenagers nowadays can't help but compare themselves to the people they see in the media and want to, you know, try to live up to that image or look like them. And I think that's, you know, a discussion that we have with our kids too, is just that, you know, you are who you are and that's, you know, that's what's more important. You don't need to be anybody else except, you know, except the best person you can be. And, you know, and trying to discourage them also, you know, just even comparing themselves to their friends, you know, we really want them to feel like they're their own person and that's who they need to be.
How old is your daughter?
My daughter's 14. So
okay. Right. Tell me about your parental coaching, you and Kate, to your daughter, regarding this topic.
So we do a lot of supervision of social media, and you know, our kids have phones. I think it's just inevitable these days that kids have them.
Do you have their passwords?
Practically, yes, we do.
Do you look at their phones?
Yes.
Awesome.
And we go through their history. And we actually bought Circle, which is a Disney product that you hook up to your router. Yeah. And it actually monitors the websites that are looked at in your home.
Yeah.
So even if they're on their phones in their rooms with their doors closed, we can see their history.
Okay, so you do that, and you just gave him a big high five in the studio for doing that. Obviously, as parents, because you're not only doctors, you're parents, that's something you're very much in favor of. Do you also coach your – do you tell your patients who are parents, should they ask, that you should – keep a tight rein on.
Yeah,
on
absolutely. Their, we talk about behavior. You know, at our yearly visits, we talk about screen time as yeah. just like we okay, talk good. About exercise or healthy eating. Screen nice, time nice. Is something
like
we talk
this.
About.
I like this. Yeah. Okay. And, so anyway, I took you off your track.
No, but this is really important because if we didn't, because sometimes we will learn things about our own kids from social media or from the mm-hmm. things that they're looking at on social media, and then we can have discussions about that. So like, hey, I saw the post that your friend did. Yeah. What do you think about that? Let's talk about that. Okay. Do you think that's okay? And then that, you know, and sometimes it's a hard conversation because sometimes they're embarrassed that their friend said or did something, but it gives us an opportunity to discuss it. It takes it out of the, you know, out of the phone and into the room, and we have a conversation about it. And I think that those are so important. And I always tell parents these dinner table conversations, like Erica said, there is so much importance to doing that whenever you can. And even though we all have busy lives and sometimes you don't eat dinner at the same time as the rest of the family, if there's even just a couple times a week that everybody can be at the table and you can have a dinner time conversation with no phones and everyone's looking at each other and talking, there's so much value to that. And it's kind of lost in this generation.
Sexual harassment. How do you coach your daughter on that?
So, I mean, that's...
Or your son.
Yeah.
Let's call that out, too. Good point.
Yeah. But boil it down. Is the bottom line... Say something immediately.
Absolutely.
Is that the bottom line?
Absolutely. And we try, and one of the benefits, I think, of these kind of dinner table conversations is it opens up the dialogue and the communication between family members. It's okay to talk about these things. Yeah. And it's okay to talk about it with us. And if you don't want to talk about it in front of the whole family, talk about it with one of your parents. You know, it doesn't need to be a family discussion, but you can always speak to us about anything that happens that's concerning to you, that doesn't make you feel right. And so the kids know that the door's always open, and those discussions need to be had, even though they're hard.
And you're coaching your kids to be strong.
Absolutely. And be strong, and be independent, not take anything from anybody.
And there can be a circle back, because I know in my own lived experience, there are those...
That's a lot of living.
I got to write that.
Oh, hey.
That's twice the millennial living.
Hey, you know, come on.
Vagina, vagina, vagina.
Oh, I know.
It's the only way I can fight back. This is what we're talking about. But there are a couple things. Parents, not everybody is as comfortable as we are in talking about these sort of things. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you need to lean into your discomfort. Sometimes you need to lean into the places as an adult and in your own lived experience that feel a little uncomfortable for the good of the order. It's not always about, you know, okay, my belief system is this. I understand you're growing up in this world. Putting my feelings aside, I will share with you my belief system. I don't have to agree with you. But I need to help guide you as you're grown up is a lot of the conversation. And then the circle back. So going back again to my lived experience, there are moments when something feels icky after the interaction. I'm not sure, was that, wasn't that, was that sex? Sometimes it can be very subtle in the way that sexual harassment can happen. So a circle back is absolutely fine. Hey, you remember last week when we had that conversation? I felt really icky about that because I felt that it put me down. I felt objectified. Yeah. I felt have to sit in it.
Exactly.
You can absolutely face it in a kind and gentle way. Yep. Not you did this to me, but I felt like this, because sometimes it can just be so inherent in what we do that we don't even realize we're doing it until it's already done. So when you know better, you do better.
Wow, that's some pretty good advice, because talk about circling around. You went back to the Mad Men thing, and you know, I mean, that there are people who are still out there in the workplace who got a foot firmly planted in both worlds.
Right.
That was the world where they were the young, whatever.
Ingenue.
You use the word millennial, but they were the new kid at the office.
Right.
And now they're perhaps at the end of their career, and they've seen it all. So they're trying to change also.
Yeah. I think that feedback loop is important, because they might not even realize it's so inherent in their nature. Yeah. They don't realize that the way they're talking to somebody in the office might come across differently than they expect.
But you said it could be a discussion versus a point finger pointing.
Exactly.
It could be a discussion first. And of course, all right. Wow. What a great discussion. And interesting perspective, because obviously you're doctors, you coach your families who visit you on many different topics. I'm sure a lot of things come up in those visits, and your parents too. So I like the fact that you pulled that curtain back a little bit.
Yeah, well, I think parenting has really helped me become a better doctor, and vice versa. I mean, I think it gives me a firm foothold in reality. Yeah. Because what you read in, what you hear in medical school and read in the books versus what you apply to actual teenagers is a totally different thing. So it's really helped our
You
careers,
two are awesome.
Sure.
I love you too.
You're awesome.
Thank you. We love you, Gary.
Thank you for that great discussion. All right, a couple of lightning round things. Just in general health, what's going around?
Do we get a buzzer?
What's going around? Flu? We seen any flu?
Yes. Flu season has officially started. Doesn't mean you can't get a vaccine.
Are we
still
seeing it? Are we seeing flu?
Flu cases have begun. We are seeing a big uptick in cases. So it's here.
Nausea, vomiting, not the flu. Nausea and vomiting is a virus, but is not the influenza virus.
Right.
Influenza virus, upper respiratory. It's a type of pneumonia, coughing, high fevers.
You feel like you've been hit by a truck.
Exactly.
If you feel like you've been hit by a truck, it's the flu. If you have a little diarrhea and nausea, it's a stomach bug. It's not the flu.
Stomach bug. Is that a big thing going around? What's up with the stomach bug?
Yeah, we got a little bit of that.
It comes and goes in close quarters.
Does the freezing cold weather, does that help push germs back a little bit, or is that a myth?
I think it's a myth,
Is it?
I mean, I think that what happens is sometimes in the cold, people spend more time indoors with other people, and then they get sick from each other. But I don't think the temperature, you know, the low temperature doesn't make you more prone to being sick.
Okay.
It takes the kids out of schools and keeps them away from each other. Yeah. So
actually,
it might help
illnesses that way.
All right, pretty
and
cool.
Be careful about frostbite out there, too. You know, we're actually seeing some cases this week of real frostbite. So you really want to, and I know kids, I mean, my kids themselves hate wearing their winter coats and putting on the layers. But I think especially when it's these sub-zero days or these 10-degree days, you really, it doesn't take very long outside in those temperatures to actually get frostbite. So you really do need to keep, especially, you know, fingers and face covered.
Those tips of the ears.
Yeah.
But you can't catch a cold from not wearing a hat. Correct.
I wish my mom,
if you've just
and the wet head.
Wet head.
I hope my mom's remotely listening.
A wet head does
Mom, you can't catch a cold from going out with a wet head.
I don't know if your mom says this, like my mom does. I hate that you're a doctor and you know things now.
Oh, I know.
She says that all the time. I hate that you're a doctor.
It is still presumed
that
I don't know things.
I love
that.
All right. And, you know, at the beginning, too, no offense to millennials or any of that stuff.
No, love them. They're driving this conversation
forward. They are.
Actually, I think without millennials, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Yeah, and you know what? We can all go back to, I remember when I was, you know, the 17, 18, 19-year-old person at the office. I'm sure I was a big jerk also way back then. And I don't know what they called us, but I'm sure they called us something.
I'm sure.
Actually, now that I think I know, they did. They did have a few names for us.
You can't say them on the line.
That's what humans do. But the reality is here on my show every day, and just in between our segments, we just had Kaylee and Maddie in here.
Great young women.
I meet the best kids every single day. And that's just on this, my show, in this small community, on my small radio station. And, you know, you just put that all over the country here. There's plenty of good kids out
there,
man. There's some really good sharp kids.
Yeah,
man. They are sharp and they are driven.
And they're less afraid.
And I just
they're less afraid to share.
And
their
they're our future.
It's delightful, and I love them, and I know the two of you do also.
I believe that children are our future.
Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty you possess inside.
All right. Thank you.
We're hoping to get some singing in today.
On that note, see what I did there?
Oh!
We're out of time. I'm sorry.
That was very insightful.
Thank you.
Our first segment.
Dr. Erica Kesselman, GYN, and Dr. Mark Cerrone, Director of Pediatric Division, Day Kimball Medical Group. It's a new day from Day Kimball Healthcare. DayKimball.org, DayKimball.org, a great local independent hospital with great people on staff. Have an awesome day.
You too. Thank you.
It's 7:54.
WINY Community Radio, serving Northeastern Connecticut.